We're here in the week of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday was just a couple of days ago. It's a time of year when we're filled with a bigger vision of what God is doing, and we're aware of the power of God at work in us and in the world, because Pentecost, after all, was the birthday of the church. So we're still celebrating our birthday, in a sense. Or if you want to put it in the bigger context of the liturgy, we're between Pentecost and the Feast of the Most Blessed Trinity we'll be celebrating on Sunday. And that feast brings us right into the very heart of the everything that is, right? The heart of all creation of the whole universe is God Himself, the mystery of divine love. Monday we celebrated Mary, Mother of the Church. Then Tuesday, yesterday, we had this a saint. I didn't make much mention of him. Saint Eugène de Mazenod, Frenchman from the 18th century, founder of the OMIs. Saint Eugène, I'll just mention what it says here in the Ordo. He came from a difficult family life, constant fighting in his family, and interference from relatives. When Saint Eugène was a child, his parents eventually divorced, and he had to flee because of the French Revolution, etc. So lots of troubles. At the end of the little description of his life, it says, Saint Eugène de Mazenod is patron saint of dysfunctional families. It came back to mind because today's saint, Saint Rita of Cascia, she's born about 400 years earlier. This is back in the 14th century, born in Italy. And she lived with a brutal husband and had two sons. After the violent murder of her husband, she urged forgiveness in contrast to the customary vendetta of her day. Vendetta is that practice, especially in some regions of Italy, where you definitely take revenge on people who offend your family. Anyway, she urged forgiveness, and eventually she joined after her husband and her sons both died, she joined the religious order of Augustinians. 40 years she spent in prayer, contemplation, and service of the sick and the poor. At the end of her life, near the end of her life, she received a wound from the thorn, from the crown of thorns. So if you see pictures of St. Rita, she always has a little wound on her forehead. She died in 1457. She is patron saint of desperate situations. So that's why I said, my goodness, here we are, Pentecost, we're celebrating the life of the church, we're celebrating the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yesterday, patron saint of dysfunctional families, and today, patron saint of desperate situations. A little reminder to us that is the community of people upon whom the Holy Spirit has descended. Us, dysfunctional people, desperate people, broken people, sinners. The 12 apostles, just like all of us, were sinners. And the church is a community of sinners, but we don't have any excuse for not being holy, because we received the Holy Spirit. So if you come from a dysfunctional family, and all of us do, if you are facing a desperate situation, and all of us are, well, join the group. That's our situation. We don't despair because we rely on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just thought that was striking to me, that in these days right after Pentecost, we're recognizing our dysfunctional and desperate situation. And these people became great saints in their dysfunctional and desperate situations. But most of you are not here because of Saint Eugène de Mazenod or because of Saint Rita, Santa Rita of Cascia. Most of you, I think, are here today to honor Josie, our sister who died 2 years ago today. Josie Avila, Josie Punzalan Avila. So let's set aside these saints, and I want to address right away a rather sharp remark that comes from today's first reading. This is from the letter of James. He's addressing people who are making plans to do a little business and make a little profit. He says, you have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Now, that's not the kind of reading you usually choose for the memorial of someone who has died, because it sounds almost insulting, you're a puff of smoke. It's not very consoling. But this is the reading that happens to fall on Wednesday of the seventh week of Ordinary Time. And I think it's good to reflect on it a little bit. Why does St. James say something so blunt and so seemingly heartless as to call us each a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears? He's not identifying us as a puff of smoke. He's not telling us this is our fundamental identity. He's giving us an attitude, or reminding us of a healthy attitude when it comes to our life in this world. After all, God does not look at us as puffs of smoke. I mean, he could. If anybody wanted to regard us as a puff of smoke, it would be God, because God is eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing, and by comparison, we are just a puff of smoke. There's no dispute about that. But that's not how God looks at us. He loves us. He sees in us an image of himself, whom he loves. He wants us to be with him forever, in eternal glory. That's what God wants. God sees us as his beloved children. That's the truth. And that's the consolation. When we lose a loved one, we say, well, my goodness, God, we feel like we have lost Josie. God doesn't feel that way. He doesn't regret that she died. He's happy to have her home with him. And that's the perspective that we take by faith. Well, then, what is this business about calling us a puff of smoke? What St. James is doing here is reminding us that in regard to this world, in regard to this situation that we're in right now, we're puffs of smoke. Our time here is limited. And by comparison to eternity, it's practically no time at all. It's a different perspective, but it's very true. The saints in heaven, St. Eugene de Mazenod, St. Rita, our sister Josie, or anyone who's in heaven, looks at our journey through this world as a very short time, a kind of blink of an eye, a passing moment. The reason why that's valuable to keep in mind is so that we don't put all our eggs in the basket of this world. This is where James is trying to correct us. Don't put all your hope for happiness in your plans to make a profit. Because even if you do make a profit, you're not going to take it with you when you die. It's still a puff of smoke. So he says, if you're boasting about all your accomplishments in this world, that's just a lot of arrogance. That kind of boasting is an evil attitude. He says, rather, say something like this. We don't have to say it out loud, but our attitude should be something like this. If the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. So sure, I'm going to make plans for the development of my business. I'm going to make plans to make a profit. I want to support myself and my family. I want to make the world a better place. And that's all very right. That's good. But if that's God's will, if God makes it possible for me to do that, that's what I'm going to do. But he could call me home today. And if that's God's will, that's good too. That's the sense in which he says, you are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. We all know, Josie's not a case of this, because Josie had a long, painful illness. I remember anointing her, maybe it was months before she died. She was already in an advanced stage of cancer, so it was no surprise when she had finally passed away. I mean, it was a sad process that the family had to pass through. But we do all know cases of people who died suddenly. I just heard a case last night, a woman who seemingly in good health and just doing fine, full of life, next day she died. So, well, it's, even though we know that happens, it stuns us every time. That's because we don't think of ourselves as a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears, when in fact, that's the reality of it. And I'm not saying it to be morbid or to be negative. It's good to face reality. It's freeing. It's freeing and psychologically healthy to face reality. What's the reality? We belong to God. If God wills us to live till we're 125, Then we'll live to 125 and then we'll disappear. If he wants us to go home to him today, then that's what will happen. And that's okay. You don't have to live in constant fear of dying. It's going to happen anyway. So we don't boast of ourselves and what we can accomplish here. We don't boast about ourselves at all. What we boast about is the mercy and love of God. That the most secure thing we know is the love of God. The most solid foundation for ourselves, for our identity, the love of God. And because God loves us, we can have confidence that we will live forever. If we take the love of God out of the picture, and if we take eternal life out of the picture, we're a puff of smoke. A puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Okay, let's move on to a thought from today's gospel. It's a very short gospel, and it's an instruction on accepting what is good. John says that they saw someone else, some outsider, driving out demons in Jesus' name, and they tried to stop him because he's not part of the inner circle. He's an outsider. And Jesus says, no, don't try to stop him. Why stop someone from doing what's good? If anyone performs a mighty deed in my name, he's not against us. Whoever is not against us is for us. It's a very liberal, open, welcoming attitude Jesus has. And this is what he wants us to have toward what is good. If something is good, if something is true, if something upholds human dignity, if something helps us or helps the world in a positive sense, in accord with God's will, well, that's a good thing. Even if it's not religious, even if it comes from someone who doesn't agree with us about everything. Whatever is good is good. And that's Jesus' attitude. Whoever's not against us is for us. Again, it's a freeing, positive, healthy attitude toward what is good. Now, what is not good, we reject. Even if it's in ourselves. Even if it's in our families. Even if it's in people that we love. No, what is not good is not good. At the end of the letter from this reading from James, he says, for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it's a sin. So to know what's good and not do it, that's no good. To attach ourselves to what is not good, that's no good. But if we're doing what is good, we're doing what is right, we're doing what is loving, we're doing what is to the benefit of the other, good, good. Let it go, let it go, let it flourish. Okay. And we can take on that attitude because that's God's own attitude. God wants us to be more and more like himself, more and more abandoned to him, so that his kingdom can continue to grow in us and through us in the world. So with awareness of the loss of our sister and with condolence to those who are honoring the memory of Josie, we don't sit in discouragement or sadness or fear or anything, because we put our trust in God. God loves us. He loves all of us. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And our future is full of hope because of the love of God.